Welcome to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome to the political cesspool radio program. I am so happy to be home and with you this Saturday evening, May 7th, to present to you another live installment of the award-winning Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards. Right back into Memphis after 7 days down in Key West at the end of the road. I've got a nice tan, and had a great vacation celebrating my 5-year wedding anniversary. But it is great to be back in the familiar surroundings of AM 1380 WLRM Radio Studios here in downtown Memphis, Tennessee, our flagship station, but by no means our only affiliate, as we are also going out to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. It was a very busy week, not just for me with my trip, but for news in general. Just a day or two before I left to go down to Key West, we had, of course, that outbreak of tornadoes and mass flooding. The flooding is still plaguing the city of Memphis and surrounding areas. If you go down Bill Street, which is where our studio is located, I was afraid we might have to take a canoe in to work tonight. Some of the street is still flooded down by the banks of the Mississippi River, causing a lot of trouble here in town. That was one big news story that broke right before I left. And of course, we made mention of it last week at the top of the show and a couple of blogs about it at the website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. I can remember standing in the terminal at the Memphis International Airport preparing to board my flight and watching reruns of the royal wedding between William and Kate, another story. And then, of course, a day after I get down to Key West, Osama bin Laden apparently is killed. Well, we're going to be talking about the latter two of those stories tonight with Richard Spencer. He is our featured guest this evening. He's going to be helping us make sense of this Obama bin Laden hysteria. And we're going to get Richard's take on the royal wedding as well. Yes, we even have a salient political opinion on the royal wedding, and you're not going to want to miss it. Richard Spencer, again, joining us tonight during the second hour is our guest tonight, talking about bin Laden and the royal wedding. We're excited about it. We've got a lot of other things to talk about first, and helping us to do just that this first hour, as always, my good friend Keith Alexander. Keith, glad to have you tonight, as you are always with us for the first hour of each show. Although I got to tell you, I came into work tonight and had to broadcast the show from down in Florida last week as I was on vacation, and I can tell you didn't really tidy up around the studio. It looks a little bit disheveled around here. What do you think?
I'm not being paid to be the janitor. How about that? Let me just tell you this. It's great to have you back from Margaritaville. Meanwhile, while you're down there living the high life, the rest of us are up here toiling in the vineyard trying to pull the plow and, with the rest of the, staff riding the buckboard in the back trying to get things straightened out while you're enjoying the life of Riley. Not that I feel bad about that or anyway, or I'm aggrieved. It's good that you get a break like this.
Thank you.
We're waiting for the paid vacations for the rest of us. So. No, look, it's great. It's great to have you back. It's always fun to be here on Saturday nights. We've had all these big breaking stories like the royal wedding and Osama bin Laden, but meanwhile, the left is patiently grinding away, trying to destroy American traditional society and Western society for you in Europe and Australia and others who may be listening in. I forget who it was who said it. They said that the mills of the gods grind slow, but they grind exceeding fine. And we're going to report back from the front lines here in Memphis. We're kind of like the black mayor of Camden, New Jersey, the first elected black mayor of a major American city, said in 69. He said he didn't know where America was going, but Camden was going to get there first. Well, Memphis is, if not first, at least shortly behind. So if you want to get a preview or a snapshot of what the future holds for the rest of America, look at Memphis. So we're going to give you a report from behind enemy lines, as we typically do, James. We've got a story about the Jubilee schools and about the racialization of budget cutting in America, governmental budget cutting. So those are two topics we're going to be covering tonight, and anything else that grabs our fancy, okay?
Well, Keith, as always, is well prepared for his stint during the first hour. And I tell you, I know I speak for our worldwide fan base when I say the first hour of this radio program is something that I look forward to each week, because it is the first hour of each broadcast of the Political Cesspool that features Keith Alexander. And he comes in here locked and loaded. I mean, I'm looking at his legal pad right now. He's got notes that you wouldn't believe. I tell you, Keith is just one of these guys that you can count on, depend on through thick and thin. He never misses. He never calls in sick. He never takes a vacation. I take a vacation every now and then. Keith is always here. I think he's, there might have been 1 week over out of the course of the last year that he wasn't able to be with us for a family commitment or something like that. But this is what it's all about. It's a labor of love here on the Political Cesspool. We tell the truth in love, and we certainly pull no punches, as we once wrote about ourselves. Someone asked if we spare any sacred cows here on this show, and we replied, we eat them. We eat them, and that's what you can expect from the Political Cesspool each and every week. And since we are here in Memphis, and since we are just getting started this evening, I want to once again, and we've been promoting it over the course of the last month, welcome our newest affiliate station, which also happens to be right here in town, AM 1600 WMQM, the newest affiliate station broadcasting the Political Cesspool. So, again, ladies and gentlemen, we've got two stations blasting out our truthfulness throughout the Mid-South, and then, of course, the stations from coast to coast and the internet. We've got it wired, Keith, one way or the other. People are going to be able to tune in, and if they can't catch us live, we've got those broadcast archives for your enjoyment available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on demand, immediately upon the conclusion of each show, dating back to 2005. If people can't catch the Political Cesspool, Keith, it's because they don't want to.
And they ought to want to, because the Political Cesspool provides something unique. We take the news one step further in the analysis process. We give you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Like you said, we have no taboos that we observe. We have no sacred cows. We're going to give you the truth that you won't hear otherwise. In fact, sometimes the truth is so glaringly obvious that you just have to shake your head and wonder as to how these people at the other so-called conservative mainstream radio stations and whatnot get by without having to cover it, at least in some fashion or form. But you don't have to worry about that with the Political Cesspool. We're going to give it to you. It's we're as plain as a billy goat's posterior on a stump, as I heard a country man say one time.
Well, that's all kind of talk, Keith, here in the South. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take our first break, and we're going to get down to business right after these words. Stay tuned.
Jump in the Political Cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, my friends, as we said just a moment ago at the top of the show, it is great for me to be back in Memphis, back in the studio, and great to have you with us tonight. Featured guest, Richard Spencer, coming up in the second hour to talk about Osama bin Laden and the royal wedding. But first, Keith Alexander is on deck co-hosting with me, and he is ready to party. Keith first wants to talk to you about Jubilee Schools. Keith, before doing so, remind everyone exactly what a Jubilee School is.
Jubilee School, going from Osama bin Laden and the royal wedding to more mundane matters here at Ground Zero, where real people live. The Jubilee Schools is kind of the crown jewel of the Memphis Catholic Diocese at this time. The Jubilee Schools are old, abandoned Catholic schools that closed because the Catholics moved out of the neighborhood. Memphis, like a lot of other parts of America, suffered from white flight because of the integration of neighborhoods and public schools. And as a result, very few blacks are Roman Catholics. Most of them who are religious are Protestants. So as a result, there wasn't a clientele for these schools. And because there wasn't a clientele for these schools, they did what any other business would do. They closed the schools. But they still had the facilities and still owned the property. Well, this was an opportunity too good to be wasted by the liberals that want to change America. So what they've done here in Memphis, we have two anonymous donors. We think they're Pitt Hyde and Fred Smith. Pitt Hyde's the head man at AutoZone, National Auto Parts Stores. And Fred Smith, of course, is the guy in charge of FedEx, both Memphians. They've paid $99 million over the past 10 years to open up probably about 10 old Catholic schools. Little Flower, Blessed Sacrament, Holy Names, St. John's on Lamar, St. Augustine are some of them. Holy Innocence, I think, is another one. Well, all of these schools, quite frankly, some of them have been closed since 1950, have been reopened, totally refurbished, and they are open to provide a free Roman Catholic education to black kids who aren't Roman Catholics, totally free of charge. And this is supposedly, you know, the best thing since floating soap. And, of course, it probably is for some of the black kids. This is an effort to try to raise, you know, black educational level and outfit these people so that they can take over positions of leadership in Memphis. Now, what's happened is that in Memphis, the $64,000 question is, what about help for white kids? You know, I thought that the primary mission of the Roman Catholic schools was to provide education for Roman Catholic children or the children of Roman Catholic families. That's the traditional mission of Catholic education here and abroad. Now, what about those kids? Well, those kids and their families face almost yearly tuition increases at the schools that they attend, and no one's providing any help for the cash-strapped parents, many of whom have been downsized out of work or are now working at lesser-paying jobs than they were last year because of the decline of the American economy generally. But, of course, like Marie Antoinette, the Catholic Diocese in Memphis says, let them eat cake. None of the money is going to help those kids or their parents in what is the fundamental mission of Catholic schools in Memphis and elsewhere in America. Instead, and this is a pattern that I've seen playing out not just in the Catholic schools but throughout Memphis and I'm sure throughout America, charitable money has been totally co-opted for minorities. For example, we talked about this once before, James. There is a group in Memphis, the East Memphis Rotary Club. You know, the Rotary Club is a national organization, international organization, actually. And I'm sure that there were many branches that had scholarship funds for the children and grandchildren of their members like the East Memphis Rotary Club did. That particular fund, a la political correctness, has now been totally co-opted for the exclusive benefit of black public school children in Memphis. What they do is they have a program called the Memphis Leadership Council. And what they do is it's headed up by a Jewish guy named Jed Dreyfus, who's the latest patriarch of a Jewish family that had a famous jewelry store in Memphis for decades. Well, anyway, what they do is they talent scout black kids in public schools in the sixth grade, see who the, you know, stars are, and they get them into a program where they send them up to expensive, exclusive Northeastern prep schools every summer, places like Rosemary Shoat Academy, where the Kennedys went, Phillips Exeter Academy, Andover, places like that where the Bushes went. and they get summer school help. Plus, they get specialized test prep for when they take the PSAT, the SAT, the ACT, and things like this. Some of them get scholarships to these exclusive prep schools, and they try to then pipeline them into Ivy League schools so that they can have elite careers in government like our current president. Now, this is being done at the expense of just providing scholarship money for white kids, paid for by the white members of the Memphis, East Memphis Rotary Club. This is happening. That, you know, if this was an isolated incident, it wouldn't be worthy of comment. But this is something that is happening throughout the nation, particularly in communities like Memphis, Tennessee, which has a large minority population. You know, we were talking about this in April during Civil War commemoration, the monthly Civil War commemoration we have, James. There is an article in the April 17th Commercial Appeal, that's the daily newspaper here in Memphis, written by Chris Peck, the editor-in-chief of the Commercial Appeal, called Remember the Civil War's Message and Lessons. Well, there was a quote in here that absolutely took my breath away, because it's like the left has let us look up under their dress. They've, you know, dropped their guard, and we now see what they're really up to. He says in here, for Greater Memphis, now a predominantly African-American city, the challenge of today is to simultaneously raise the standard of living for the poorest among us, that's liberal code talk for black people, while also attracting more educated African-Americans to the region. Well, that particular quote is more important for what it doesn't say than for what it does say. And what the question that we will ask, that no one else in the media in America will ask today, is, what about white kids? What is being done to help and draw white kids into the educational system, trying to improve their prospects for moving up the social ladder in America? And like I said, the reaction or the response of the elites is like Marie Antoinette, let them eat cake. They could give two hoots about white kids. In fact, what they've done is, it's been like this ever since affirmative action first came into play in 1969. They've basically allowed these people to cut in line and take all the opportunities. And if you're a white person that is not well connected, doesn't have a lot of money, doesn't have friends in high places that can help you get into elite schools and colleges and university, then your aspirations are going to be frustrated. You're not going to move up a ladder. And, it, you know, what is so incredible is that the white elites that are in charge of things like this Leadership Memphis program, or like the Jubilee Schools, for example, they have all of this benevolent feeling towards blacks at the bottom of the social ladder, but they have nothing but scorn and contempt for white people that are one rung down the social ladder from them, James.
Don't go away.
Keith Alexander doing what he does best, holding court here on the Political Cesspool Radio program. We will give him the floor once again right after these words.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta get
out of this place. All right, folks, just a quick look ahead at what is still forthcoming this evening on the Political Cesspool radio program as we continue to make our way through the first hour with Keith Alexander. You know, Richard Spencer is our featured guest tonight. We're going to be talking about Osama bin Laden and the royal wedding during tonight's second hour. But then during the third hour, I'm going to be here with you by my lonesome, no co-host, no other guest. And I am going to be catching up with you, flying solo, the Lone Ranger that I am, the Lone Eagle, like Charles Lindbergh said. I've got about a dozen stories since Winston Smith filled in for me for the last 2 hours of last week's show, and he did a great job with Pastor John Weaver and Reverend Ted Pike. If you missed last week's show, be sure to consult it in our broadcast archives. But since I was out for 2 hours last week enjoying my vacation, a lot of news stories piled up on my desk, and we're going to get through all of them. Tonight, during the third hour, I am going to tell you to hold on tight. We're going to cover a wide variety of topics in very short order. So that, plus Richard Spencer, still coming your way tonight on the Political Cesspool Radio program. A lot to look forward to as we turn it back over to Keith right now. Keith, did you want to continue on with the theme we were visiting during that second segment, or do you want to move on to the little teaser we gave him last week?
Let me do a few comments to do the wrap-up on that last segment. Why are we interested in the Jubilee Schools? Why are we interested in things like the Gates Millennial Scholarships, which conspicuously avoid mentioning anything about white students? The reason being, they're not available to white students. Bill Gates, with all of his enormous wealth, made primarily from white people in America and in Europe and the rest of the Western world, has decided to give a wet mitten to the white race, and just like the typical liberal that he is, he thinks white people don't need any help whatsoever in educating their children. Meanwhile, the left has, ever since Brown versus Board of Education, made it more and more expensive and more difficult for white people to secure a decent education for their children. You know, when I was a kid, back in the 50s and 60s, you took for granted that you would just go to the public schools. And the public schools were, back then in Memphis, the best schools in town. If you went to a private school, it meant you were either a Roman Catholic or a problem child, as I've said before. Now, you have to make elaborate arrangements to try to either live in a good school district or somehow get the money together through friends, relatives, or through some type of job coup d'etat, to be able to send your kids to get the type of education that people in my generation got for free and took for granted. So, you know, while life, well, we're in the golden age for black people in America. This is the best time ever to be a black person in America, and probably the most financially difficult time to be a white person. And what is the end game of all this? Well, one of the things that's happened is a dramatic fall in white birth rates in America. Whites are now reproducing at less than replacement level in America, and that is hastening the day when America will shift from being a majority white to a majority non-white nation. Right now it's projected to be 2042, and of course the left, ever impatient to transform America and to knock white people down a rung, is doing everything they can to hasten that day's coming by their open borders policy. And now we find out that one of the people that we thought was a potential champion, a person that resonated with a lot of paleoconservatives, Ron Paul, he's now come out and said that he's in favor of open borders. So, you know, the elites get to them one way or another, just like they got to Obama. Obama was supposed to be a peacenik. And the next thing you know, he's the biggest supporter of the Department of Defense in America. So consequently, there's a secret hand that seems to be rolling America, James, and that hand definitely doesn't have the welfare of its white population foremost in its mind.
But we do, Keith.
That's right.
We do, and we are one of the very few organizations out there that advance the interests of America's founding majority each and every day we lace up the sneakers, so to speak. And I tell you, you know, we're always talking about it. If you go to the blog right now, thepoliticalcesspool.org, you'll see a couple of stories, both, believe it or not, originating here in Memphis. And we'll be exploring these stories in greater depth during the third hour. One of them is a story detailing how two Muslim clerics were booted off a Delta Airlines flight at Memphis International Airport this week by a pilot. And of course, some organization whose sole purpose is to advance and defend the interests of Muslims living in America sprang to action and was raising the seventh level of hell. Also in Tennessee, the state Senate is pushing a measure that will not allow teachers, and this is a good measure, believe it or not, that will bar teachers from mentioning or discussing homosexual relations or activities in the classroom. And, of course, the homosexual groups are springing to action in defense of their perversity. But where are the organizations that defend the majority? And they are very few and far between, to say the least. We're one of them, and we are probably the most prominent of them, being here on mainstream commercial radio, a broadcast entity, a syndicated broadcast entity. And this is what we do. So we would appreciate your support. And with that being said, and speaking of radio, you know, we got Keith Alexander, and this goes into the teaser that we made mention of at the very end of last week's first hour. Keith Alexander, a star in his own right as one of the Political Cesspool radio program co-hosts, actually went incognito, humbled himself by going undercover and calling into a rival radio program as just another Joe Blow on the street. Keith, tell us the story. What compelled you, a big name in talk radio circles, to just call in anonymously to the Phyllis Schlafly Show of all things. Keith, tell us.
Well, you know, I've always liked Phyllis, even though I realize that she has put certain borders on where she can range in terms of commentary and talk. But I think her heart's in the right spot. I'll never forget back in 64 when I was first getting interested in politics. She was instrumental in getting Barry Goldwater nominated as the Republican candidate for president in 64. By writing a political pamphlet called A Choice, Not an Echo, and that's what the Republican Party has been striving, at least the paleoconservative part of it, to do ever since then, which is, you know, for the Republicans to be a clear-cut choice from the Democrats rather than an echo of them, which, unfortunately, they've been more times than not. Now, Phyllis Schlafly had some NPR commentator on as her primary guest, and he was talking about deficit cutting and how difficult that is because black people take that as a personal attack or a racial attack, some pernicious honky plot to undermine their prosperity. And I pointed out that the Memphis public schools primarily exist to benefit the adults working there, not for the children attending the schools. They want that big trough of jobs that is represented by the Memphis City school system, and they don't care whether the kids get educated or not as long as black people can work there and make middle-class salaries. See, that, and the commentator agreed with me, but then immediately I was cut off the phone line, and he went on to say that the public schools with their Cadillac health care, with their defined benefit pensions, and with their civil service protection for the workers, was designed to serve the interests of white middle-class women. And I felt like Glenn Beck, you know, Glenn Beck talks about having to duct tape his head together to prevent it from exploding. That's exactly how I felt when I heard that comment. I said, how can somebody be so craven as to fail to acknowledge the most obvious factor about the public sector, which is that it disproportionately hires black people. And in a place like Memphis, almost every public employee is a black person. And you go into the, you know, we used to have a joke about it. You know, what do they call a white man surrounded by five blacks? Coach. What do they call a white man surrounded by 10 blacks? Quarterback. What do you call a black man surrounded by 100 blacks? Warden. What do you call a white man surrounded by 1,000 or more blacks? Postmaster. That was an early acknowledgement of the fact that blacks predominate in public sector employment, and this guy wants to mislead America into thinking that this is a problem brought on by the political interests of middle-class white women.
One thing we can all agree on, when Keith Alexander called in the Phyllis Schlafly Show, he was by far the most talented radio host on that line. We're going to take a break and come back with more right after this.
Right after these messages.
We got to get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we got to get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life.
welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
I've got to admit something here as we come in from this commercial break. I'm going to allow the audience to be our confessor, Keith. We're here at, as you know, AM 1380 WLRM Radio Studios in downtown Memphis, Tennessee, where the water is rising on Bill Street. If you go outside our door, we're on the second story here. You go outside and you look down and you see the FedEx Forum, which, among other things, is the home of the Memphis Grizzlies, who are not only in the second round of the NBA playoffs right now, they are actually playing a game in overtime against the Oklahoma City Thunder as we speak. And so the thing I have to confess is that during that last commercial break, Keith Alexander and I scurried out of the studio, went into the lobby to see what was going on. Now, I am not even a fan of the Memphis Grizzlies. In fact, they had no fans until last week when they somehow made the playoffs. I actually went to a basketball game earlier this year in Memphis when Portland came to town. I bought a ticket for my wife and I about an hour before tip-off, and it was sitting on the floor because no one cares. The Fairweather fans of Memphis, though, now, you would think, they're selling out as if it's going out of style, but nevertheless, NBA playoffs in town. They're taking place right beneath our feet, almost literally. And Keith Alexander and I were compelled enough to go in and see what's going on TV. Keith explained it to him. Keith's enjoying it, though. Keith's getting into the playoff fervor here in Memphis as we kind of derail from our plotted course tonight and take a moment of personal privilege.
Look, Memphis will support a winner. They won't support a loser worth a darn. But on the other hand, you know, as much as these athletes are being paid basically to play a child's game and they make these princely salaries because of it, I think that it's entirely appropriate to expect a winner before you'll give them your support. But I will have to say that the Memphis Grizzlies really are grinding it out, showing a lot of grit and character. And they came back from like 13, 14 points down at the end of the third quarter to tie the game at the end of the fourth quarter. So let's pull for the Grizzlies. I want to see the underdogs win.
I do always root for an underdog, and Memphis does have one white player, which is one more than Oklahoma City has. So They've got two. Okay, well, I stand corrected. Well, they're winning by six now, Keith. You might want to go back out to the green room and take it in. Who do I have calling me on my cell phone here? I got my brother calling me on the cell phone. I'll see what my brother wants and turn it back over to Keith here for a minute.
Okay, folks, let's go back to what we were talking about previously, and that is about the problem of public sector unions, government employment, and budget-busting consequences of both. You'll never hear this from the mainstream media, but this is primarily a racial problem. But white liberals and neocons are afraid to discuss this glaringly obvious fact, since whites discussing race and its consequences candidly is a taboo in today's America. But for once, Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, who are under no such or similar disability, are right. This is the key to black prosperity. The golden road out of the ghetto for blacks here in Memphis is not affirmative action admissions to Harvard Law School or medical school. It is the husband working for the U.S. Postal Service and the wife working for the Memphis City Schools or vice versa. This works very nicely for black people, particularly since they don't have to worry about sending their kids to private schools. If a black kid is going to a private school in Memphis, it's because some honky is footing the bill. So with no public schools to deal with, two government jobs with good salaries, great benefits, a defined benefit pension. You know, everybody else in the private sector, i.e. most of the white people, are opening their 401k statements with fear and trepidation every quarter, wondering how much of their retirement has evaporated into thin air because of the machinations of various speculators in the stock market. Meanwhile, people in the public sector, primarily black in Memphis, know that World War III can occur tomorrow and they will get the same check each and every month because their union has negotiated that. Well, one of the things that will, you know, it's now suddenly become fashionable in Republican and mainstream conservative circles to talk about cutting government sector employment benefits and pay and numbers. But what they forget is that Henry Loeb, who was one of my Jewish heroes and the former mayor of Memphis, was confronting the exact same problem back in 1968 during the Memphis sanitation workers' strike. And he said that this was a labor management problem, not a black-white problem, and he was right. They're confronting now everything that Henry Loeb tried to warn us about back in 1968. He said that it's too easy for politicians to cave in to the demands of public sector employees and get their votes. They won't be saddled with the consequences. The chickens won't come home to roost until 25 years down the road, and by that time they'll be long retired, probably living in Golden, Colorado, or some resort area, while the rest of the city moans and groans under the consequences of these bad governmental decisions, political decisions made by people that really don't have any skin in the game. Unlike the owner of a company, if he makes a bad deal with his union, he'll go broke. The politicians won't go broke, and the government won't go broke, but they'll continue to load taxes on people. And furthermore, the big problem of sustainability with all of these elaborate benefits that public sector employees get now is sustainability. They've now gotten to the point where you cannot finance government payments, both to welfare and to government employment and everything else that we do, from current revenues. We have to borrow money. And our current revenues go to pay the interest on the money we've borrowed from the Chinese and others who buy our T-bills or our municipal bonds in the case of Memphis, or state bonds if it's the state government. Now that's, you know, any kid that has played Monopoly, as Pat Buchanan once said, knows how that strategy works out. When you have to start selling off your hotels and your houses in order to go around the board, you ain't going around the board very much longer. Right, James?
That's the way the game's played, buddy. And speaking of the game, I just gotta say, updating you and everyone else who I'm sure is just dying to know what's going on. I just want to let you know. You know what Bourbon Street is down in New Orleans, right, everybody? Bill Street is the Memphis equivalent to New Orleans is Bourbon Street. And so basically, if you come to Bill Street in Memphis, you'll find the FedEx Forum, our radio station, and about 100 bars. And it's just all there on top of each other. So what I'm saying is the Memphis Grizzlies are winning by 4 points with 57 seconds left in this playoff overtime game. And Keith Alexander is set to leave the studio here at the end of the first hour. So basically what I'm thinking, Keith is going to be leaving the studio right about the time this game ends and all of these frenzied fans are spilling in to Bill Street. Keith, this is going to be a perfect time for you to go and pick up a woman.
I mean, you know, probably not a good idea since I've been married for over 30 years. But let me tell you this: we've got all this high profile stuff going on in Beale Street. Meanwhile, we're kind of like, you know, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. We have a manhole cover that we open up and go into our. we're flying below the radar here, but let me tell you, it's rocking. The Grizzlies are now ahead 96-90. Keep your fingers crossed. Pull for the Grizzlies, everybody. Let's get some good karma going for them, because, quite frankly, Memphis needs something good to happen to them, because this is, you know, what we have been suffering under liberal government and the consequences of liberalism in America for so long now that it's, you know, it's a miracle that we've got anything going for us at all. Now, getting back to the topics that we were talking about.
You got about 1 minute.
Here's what the problem is. Most black people in America get a government check every month at least. They either get a government paycheck or they get a welfare check. And they get all sorts of benefits if you're on the welfare side. Besides a check, you get SNAP. That's the new debit card that's the equivalent of food stamps. You get WIC, that's women, infants, and children, food supplements. You get, let me see, what are some of the other programs that we've got here? We've got commodities, AFDC, Head Start, all of these things, and they provide a floor for people. And then they have to go out and make money, but they have to make cash because checks will disqualify them. So what's the biggest all-cash economy of them all, James? It is crime. It basically is an engine that drives people into crime. You know, your local pimp drug dealer and fence operation don't accept Visa, MasterCard, or personal checks. So all of this stuff feeds into the decline and degradation of the American society that we were born into and that was given to us by our forefathers.
1 hour down.
All right, Keith Alexander, everybody, leaving his boy Zach Randolph, 18 points, 21 rebounds. Grizzlies win. Keith going out on the prowl. Don't sign too many autographs, Keith, when you're out there. Don't want too many people to recognize you and mug you as you come out of the studio tonight. But as for me, I've still got 2 more hours to punch in tonight. Richard Spencer will be with me right after this to help me fill one of them. Stay tuned, everybody.
They were jumping pews and shouting hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his Fruit of the Blooms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the amen.